Okay, we are in the Nefesh HaChaim, Perek Tes Zayin. This is a very deep, I believe, and important lesson, but it has to be understood deeply, even though the words are relatively easier than some of the other ones that were full of Zohar. And I hope everybody has it here. What I'd like to do here this morning is go through the Perek and then go back and explain it. So that way we finish Perek Tes Zayin, God willing, today. So remember that Perek Tes Vav started an entire benefit package that's there for those that are Lomei Torah. There's benefits. And one of the benefits, Perek Tes Zayin, is Gam Mavirin Umesalkin Me Olav Kol Hatirdois Vahinyonim Me Ol Derech Eretz, which is amazing, that if a person is Loimei Torah, Lishma, let's talk about Lishma, so somehow or another, Mavirin Umesalkin Me Olav, that will take away from him Kol Hatirdois Vahinyonim May all derech eretz v'chulad. You know, when I read that sentence, so the only thing I could think is I must not be learning Torah lishma. But that's what it says. V'chol shar inyanei zeh ha'olam ha'monos tmidos ha'esek b'Torah hakadosh, and any other items in this world which tend to take away from the fact that I can always learn Torah. Parnasa, tircha, illness, they get taken away. K'moy sh'amru, because it says Mefurish and Avis, Kol HaMakabala Lav Ol Torah, in Perek Gimel, Kol HaMakabala Lav Ol Torah, Ma'avir Menu Ol Malchus Ve'ol Derech Eretz. So this is not the Nefesh HaChaim's Chiddush, this is a Mishnah in Perek Yavos, that anyone's Makabala Lav Ol Torah, Mavir Mimenu Ol Malchus Val Derech Eretz. Simple pshat is that there's no such thing as a life without an oil. Everyone has a yoke and a burden on them of some sort. There's no person that's putter from a yoke. A yoke could be that I have to make money. A yoke could be that I'm suffering from envy and jealousy. A yoke could be that I have psychological problems. A yoke. So all these different yokes, a person has to have some kind of a yoke. But apparently, according to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Chidush Nifla, you can choose your yoke. Choose your burden. And your burden can be Torah. As incredible as this is, I'm not going to explain it yet in a few minutes, what I think it means. Because all of us know that people that learned Torah Lishma were in concentration camps. I mean, Ba'amr Baba Midbar Rabba, it says in the Medrash of Tanchuma Parshas Chukas, Shemizah Tam, that it's for this very reason that Nitna HaTorah B'Midbar. This is why the Torah was given in the desert. Kishem Shemidbar Einoi Nizra V'Einoi Nevad. You don't plant anything, you don't have a farm in the Midbar. Einoi Nizra V'Einoi Nevad. Kacha Makabal Olav Ol Torah Parkin Mimenu Oil Golos v'ol derech eretz, u'kishem shemidbar einoy mala arnon. Arnon is arnona. We're all familiar with that word. Just like if you live in the desert, you don't pay arnona. Kach b'nei Torah b'nei chayrin b'olam hazeh. Okay, so the midbar gives us a certain depth here. And that is that on the one hand, like if you're living in a desert, like mamish in a desert, not talking about even a yeshuv in the desert. We're talking about if you live in the desert, like you're nomadic. So, on the one hand, you're in the desert. Like, that's terrible, being in the desert. You know, you don't have your pool, you don't have your garden, you don't have your house, you don't have your air conditioning, you don't have your anything. On the other hand, you could look at it differently, that you're patur from all of that stuff. Like, I don't have to get up in the morning and think, wow, is it going to rain today because my crops have to grow? Or you don't have to think today that, you know, I got to get to work by 9, I got to fight traffic. You know, and you're not thinking about all the different things that all of us think about every day. I'm in the midbar. So On the one hand, it's like who wants to live in a midbar? On the other hand, it's very liberating to live in a midbar because all the different burdens of life, almost all of them, don't exist in the midbar. There's no social pressure. There's no complaining about the schools. There's probably not even a seger living in the midbar. So apparently nobody's saying you should go live in a midbar. But what it is saying is that if you're mekabel all of all Torah, then if somebody and if, obviously we need to define this, but if somebody is actually accepting upon themselves the burden of Torah, this is my job and I'm going to do it right. Torah. So then it's as if you're living in a desert. In other words, you're living, I believe, and here's the beginning of my Pirush, you're living in a different reality. And that reality allows us to not be concerned. You know, I once asked one of the Gedolim, I had the schus to ask one of the Gedolim, I said, like, doesn't it bother you that people are criticizing you in the news and, you know, whatever, you know, like, you know, you're. So he says, I'll tell you the truth, I just don't relate to all that. And it's hard to know what that even means, because I relate to all of it. But it's not that he's not sensitive. It's just that, like, this. He went further to say in Yiddish, he says, "Sinisht mein Weltele." You know, they're talking in a different world about me. It doesn't really affect me. It's not my world. So the pshat is, I'm in a midbar. So a person can live in a different reality, and probably the point of living in a different reality is all of the different burdens and shibudim that we go through on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute level, the different pains and the different, you know, worries that we have. So it's only if I'm living in that reality. But if I'm not living in that reality, if that's not my social milieu, and that's not, you know, where my goals are, you know, got to have this kind of house, this kind of car, this kind of money, this kind of, if that's not where I'm at, so I'm putter. So a good way to look at the world of Gashmius, a chiddush, if you will, is not do I have it, do I not have it, do I need it, do I not need it? I'm putter. I'm putter. I'm putter from worrying about that thing. I'm mishuchrar. Free. Ein lecha ben charen, no lemi shoyisik putter. So it doesn't mean that I'm free. Nobody is making me a slave. I'm free because I'm not in that. Ani lo mityaches lezeh. You know, I'm just not. I'm not relating to that part of my life. But it could be that he could be in Lo Aleinu in a concentration camp, but he's not relating to that. So there's a story, I hope I have it right, but somebody came to the Bris Kerov when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he came to the Bris Kerov and asked him a question on a Rambam in Kutchim, complicated Rambam. So the Bris Kerov was learning with his son, Reb David, Soloveitchik, he should be gesund, is learning with Reb David. And the Bris Kerov looked at Reb David, he said, "Zok dem, tell him when we learned this sugya together." Sorry, just muting everybody. Somebody told him, somebody, so he said to Reb David, he said, "Zuktim, tell him where we learned the sugya together." And the answer to the question was that they learned the sugya while traveling from one country to another, I don't remember which countries, in Europe, and passing through a very, very dangerous area where if they get caught, they get killed for moving, for jumping the border. And that's where they learned this Rambam. That's where they learned this Rambam. So the Bris Kerov was proud. Zokdeb, where we learned this. So how do you learn a Rambam? How do you learn a Rambam in Kutchim, which is so not Nogea? How do you learn it when you're running? The answer is they were living in a different Malcolm in a different place. At the same time, they were running for their lives. It doesn't seem to be a contradiction. Says the Nefesh HaChaim further, Ubezoyer vayechi reish mem beis, omud beis. Choman diodel ishtadlo boi reise v'lo ishtadil. Ischayev benafshe. We have a whole new madrega. If you're able and you know how to study Torah properly, and you don't do it, chayev benafshe. Chayev benafshe. Not only that, placed on him the burden of this world and a bad shibud. Because it says by Yisachar, vayat shichmai lispol, right? It says that Yisachar, as how Chazal Darshan, was a strong boned or a wide boned donkey. But if he doesn't want to, Yisachar and Zvula, right? Yisachar was learning Torah. If he doesn't want to take upon himself the oil of Torah, says the Zayar, somebody will find you as a donkey and put some other burden on you. Wow, you're so capable. Yisachar was so capable, so intellectual, he could do anything. Just saying a mashal l'mad davar doima, like if you're a very talented person, and let's say you work for some company, so every difficult thing will come on you. And then, then you end up getting in trouble because you didn't do your job. Yeah? Like everything. Can you help me write this letter? Can you help me with this computer program? So, okay, everyone has to be nice. But it's a fascinating thing that, if you're makabel, you're oil. This is my job. This is what I'm going to do. So then you're doing your job and you're putter, if you will, from all of those other things that I'm supposed to do. Otherwise, you become a jack of all trades, and that's what would happen to Yisachar. Says this, "Manda sata arche v'garment leilispel oil of the rice." One, somebody who strays from the derech, satya arche leilispel oil of the rice, and says this is too heavy for me to carry the burden of Torah. Miad vayihi lamas oifed. So you become everybody's worker. B'chein lehapach. So,
you're talking about an oil. Is that also like Yisurin, or is Yisurin a different thing?
So Perek Tezvav, we talked about Yisurin. And Yisurin, it said Yisurin Bedelin Himenu. And here it says Mavirinu Meselkin Me'alav, the first words. So what's it? I just want to point out the diktuk. What's the difference between Bedelin Himenu, Himenu, and ma'virinu masalkin me'olav? So yisurim b'deilin mimenu means they don't get on you to begin with. And here is talking about even if you're in a situation of trouble, so masalkin mimenu takes it away.
Earlier he said yisurim, here it says tradais.
Right. So there's a difference between yisurim and tradais. So yisurim are going to stay away from you. And we talked about that in Tezvav. And here we're talking about tirdus. You have tirdus. A person wakes up in the morning, have tirdus. My gosh, how am I going to get my coffee? Right? You have tirdus. But you become putter to a certain extent. I'll just tell you a personal thing. This is like mamash gashmius that I'm saying. I'm not talking about anything ruchnius here. Comes Yom Kippur morning, I feel totally free. One of the few times I feel totally free. I don't have to eat. I don't have to drink. I don't even have to put my shoes on. I don't have to wear my suit. And I just have to just do, I'm totally free from any burdens of gashmius, which things that we love. We love eating. We love drinking. We love, all the different things that you're not allowed to do I don't have to do all that anymore. I don't have to take my vitamins. So there's a certain, like all these things are matrid, so there's a certain patur, a shichrur that you have if you're involved in something else. Yom Kippur. Today's Yom Kippur. I'm not going to deal with those kind of things. I'm not worried about my business. I'm not checking my phone, right? Do you ever go to a situation where you just didn't take your phone along with you? Has anybody ever done that before? So if you simply don't take your phone with you, you're free. It's an unbelievable feeling of freedom, even though there's an unbelievable feeling of guilt that goes with it in my case. But there's a tremendous, why don't you have your phone? Where's your phone? But you're free. Why are you free? You're suddenly detached from the entire world. So I want to ask somebody here wants to volunteer to answer me. He says here, Lashon of the Zohar, if you could learn and you don't learn, is chayiv benafshe. Or what we say more normally in Shas, we say chayiv benafshe. So I want to ask somebody, Rebbe Yaakov, why don't you try? What does chayiv benafshe even mean? What do the words mean? Don't give a drasha, just tell me what it means.
Absolute responsibility, I think.
Chayiv benafshe. If you learn and you don't learn, you're chayiv benafshe. It's a bad thing.
Usually means you're chayiv misa, no?
You can mean you're chayiv misa, chayiv benafshe, meaning what? So what's the
Your
translation?
nefesh will be taken from you.
Your nefesh will be taken.
You're obligated to give up your soul.
So if a person learns and doesn't learn, if a person can learn and doesn't learn, chayiv misa, is that what you're saying? That's how you're learning?
Chayiv benafshe, we've heard that phrase before. No, it's not the
That's
first
all over Shas.
Usually I thought it's chayiv misa, no? You could be like, if you do like Beishama, you lay down, not like Beis Hillel, you're chayiv benafshe.
Like the Mishnah and Brachas, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Reb Tarfi.
Right. That means you should have died, but this thing should have killed you.
Turn it in. Turn it in.
You're not doing what you're supposed
turn
to.
Turn in your nefesh.
Turn in your nefesh. How poetic.
Maybe over here it means like he's liable for the consequences. He's putting himself in jeopardy, and he's liable for what's going to happen.
How's that word in chayiv benafshei?
He is liable, chayiv benafshei, to what he's done for his.
What benafshei? One second. You're skipping the word benafshei.
Benafshei means his life. He's wrecking his life, and he's going to pay. It's his own fault.
What happens to your nefesh is your fault. Don't you mean your life?
Okay, that's something like that. What happened? In other words, you're losing. What?
Maybe it means also that you're just not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing here.
How do you get the words chayiv benafshe? That's what I'm asking. It's a word all over Shas. We have to know what it means. It says, by the way, that let me give you an example where it says it by in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Dalet. It says, I think in Perek Dalet, that the end of Perek Dalet, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, that's Rabbi Yaakov Ish Levitas. He said that if you're Matayel Baderech and you're learning Torah and you stop and you say, Ma Noe Ilon Ze, you say, wow, what a beautiful tree that is. Chayiv Benafshei. Okay, I'm enjoying the view behind Rabbi Yaakov Pinsky. Like, what's the Chayiv Benafshei?
Mischa,
here it says Mischa Eschayiv Benafshei.
Well, normally, Mischa is it causing a liability?
Where does it say mischa? It says in Pirkei Avos, you mean?
I don't know. I just got it in my head. It's mischayev.
Well, it says three things that I know of in Shas. Eschayev, mischayev, and chayev. So it's interesting. One's right. You're right. One's nifal, one's pa. I'm not sure what the difference is. I just want to tell you what the... I just saw, not just, but I saw a while ago, I saw Rav Leuchter in the Sefer Meshivas Nefesh on Nefesh HaChaim. So he says as follows: Chayiv benafshei ein meduber kan al miso gashmis. We're not talking about here that you're going to die, like Avram said, chayiv miso. We're not talking about that. Well, how do we know? Ki achrei she'adam meis lo shayach laseisof olav oil olam hazeh, because it's talking about even after you die, chayiv benafshei. We see the lashon chayiv benafshei even after you die. So he says, Kavonis Chazal Loimer, Shuhu, listen to these words, I think they're very good words. Shuhu ma'abedes ha'nefesh ha'el yoina ha'nisenes lo'isek b'toira. He loses the nefesh el yoina. Remember, nefesh ruach neshama. He loses the nefesh el yoina. U'me'acher shu chayzer u'mishtayach l'roivet ha'nomuch shel nishmasai. And I'm busy with the lowest rung or ring in the chain of my nefesh, Hashayeches Lo Elameinu, the one that's connected to the world, Hugam nichbel b'chavlei olam hazeh. Now I'm tied up, like handcuffs, golden handcuffs into this world. Let me say that over again because it's beautiful words. Nefesh daika. There's first of all, the nefesh is nefesh ruach neshama. The Ramchal explains in Derech Hashem at the beginning that it's all one thing. It starts with neshama and works down many rings in the chain until you get to the world of nefesh. And then the nefesh also, to ad kedei kach that Chazal say ki adam hu ha nefesh. Even my life, my blood, flesh and blood is my nefesh. But we also find nefesh in higher forms because the nefesh, 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 ruach, 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 and then neshama. That's how the roved goes. So it's a roved. One second, please. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to shut it off. My apologies. So he says as follows, that there is a chain that starts from the Shamayim and works towards the Aretz, and consider, look at ourselves for a moment as hanging from this chain, nefesh on the bottom, and the nefesh has got to eat, the nefesh has to sleep, the nefesh has to do all these things that the neshama doesn't necessarily have to do, yeah? So when a person gets too involved in the lowest ring in this chain, so that becomes my whole life. This lowest chain becomes my whole life. And now, mishtayach l'roived hanamuch shel nishmasai, you're getting completely involved and entangled in the lowest roved, hashayeches le'olam einu, the one that's in this world, hu gam nichbol b'chav le'olam hazeh, you get all involved in it, so much so you can't get out of it. You become chained yourself into this world. So what does it mean? It means to say, I think, chayev benafsho, let's go back to the Teich, chayev benafsho means that your nefesh has now been taken over by the world of Gashmias, by the world of Olam, where there is another possibility here, which he's discussing in Perek Tazayin, and that is that my nefesh is in this world, that's where I live. And I have to worry about my food and I have to worry about my health and all that. But at the same time, you're also connected Lamala. And I'm looking at a much bigger picture and I'm relating to more of the 200 chains that are Lamala than I am on the 200 links than I am to the one link which is on the bottom. And if I don't do that, listen to me carefully, if I get so involved in this little place over here that I forget about, so chayiv benafsha means cut, 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 cut. You just snipped off that one ring, and then it's not connected to anything. So chayiv benafsha means it's a ruchnius thing that you're living completely in the world, whole world. You can see somebody who starts very, very much lishma, if you will, and then they can get so involved, let's say, with kavod, or with money, that they're chayiv benafsho, they've got so involved that they're lost to that. They're just lost. That's where the world is. They can still know how to learn. They can still be smart people. They can still be nice people. But they're completely tangled into the world. And it's ad kedei kach, says the Zohar, mischayiv benafsho, snip, snip.
It sounds a bit like a mini chorus.
It's a chorus, but we don't know a chorus. Chorus can also mean many, many things. But chorus is the right word, Gil. Or is chorus is the right word, then there's a disconnect. Like, let's look at it as a disconnect between
it's
me.
It's not even a punishment. It's a corollary, right? Is that what it's saying? Like, if this is what you do, then that's what's going to happen.
It's Amatias.
Amatias, right?
Yeah. So in other words, this is probably the cycle of Mishiyesh Leimana Ratza Masayim. You're in a cycle. Hakina va'ataiva va'akavod moitzian asada min ha'olam. Snip. You're obsessed with all of these different things which are very real. Kina, taiva, Kavod.
Could one say that as Chayev, it's reflexive, so it means you have obligated your nefesh to worldly things?
Well, I think...
You've self-obligated, you've put a chiyuv on yourself to be in the physical world?
That's for sure true, but I'm not sure if that's what the word means. I think what the word means, just to be madaik, is chayev benafsha. Now you've taken, you've taken responsibility for yourself. Chayev benafsha.
It means you have imprecated yourself.
Good word. Okay, very good. This is very important. So we're learning here a big secret here, by the way. It's not about some, just a review, it's not about some miraculous thing that can take place that all of a sudden, you know, I'm a Kabbal al Torah and, you know, all my problems go away. But you're not mityaches to those problems in the same way you were before because there's so much more to it. Then, you know, you're not just looking at a tiny little piece of it, which is this world and my success and how I feel and who's better to me and who's worse than me. Lo shayach. You don't relate to all that. And if you're a Talmud Chacham, you can relate to a higher place. And by the way, I just want to say one thing that's not true. I want to say many things. But you know, if you remember in the previous paragraph, we spoke about that a Talmud Chacham could go into the Chedrei Chadorim of his own learning. And we don't know what that means exactly. What does it mean to go into the Chedrei Chadorim? What it means to say is you can climb out of your little world and be a little bit otherworldly. And if you're a little bit otherworldly, this is a secret. Maybe it's Chedrei Chadorim, maybe through meditation, maybe it's through tefillah, maybe it's through Limud HaTorah. But he's got to teach us how to do this. But there's a trick here, a secret, that you can a bit climb out of this world that we're in, and this little veltula, and you can say it's a nishmai veltula. It's not where I'm at.
Rabbi, could it also mean misrei v'nafshe instead of the siyata nishmaya zochin ledvarim harbe, that you're getting l'malim et teva and Hashem's protecting you and He's taking away the tirdus. The schay v'nafshe, that you're going to be running on your own steam without siyata d'shmaya, and you're going to be running up piteva instead of l'malim v'nateva.
So I think that's for sure true, and the Noam Elimelech says this in the Pshat Noam in the Tana d'Veilio and his Pirush on the Tana d'Veilio. But I think what we're saying Yitzchak is even deeper. That yes, you're running on your own gas. You're running on battery mode. You're not running on. That's for sure true. But he's saying that the way I see tzaris is completely different. You see, like I mentioned last week, you see big gedolim that they weren't relating. I'm saying something different. So you're not. They weren't relating to the tzaris that were around them somehow. I mean, they're human, so you know you're affected by it and it hurts. And you say, "Ouch." But they weren't relating to it as this is my whole life. You know, like, God forbid, somebody loses all their money. So if that's all they got, then they lost all their money. And they lost everything. You know, when people say, I lost everything. but if you have much more, then you didn't lose everything.
Can you elaborate on the old Torah? I mean, because it's calling it an oil still. It's not... You're going from one oil to another oil. So what's the oil part of Torah?
So we're going to elaborate on it, but I want to say this word to you, God, that it means that I've chosen this as my burden. I'm not going to look, instead of looking... What is what?
What are the tirdos? He talks about the tirdos that comes with an oil in the first sentence. So what are the tirdos that come with my oil Torah?
Am I going to be able to learn properly? Am I going to be able to learn Ovid Hashem properly? My job is to be Ovid Hashem. So, you know, you have a clergy exemption. You know, look where he goes here. V'chein hadin halacha psuka b'shas. You know, God, I just want to say something. Like, you know, everybody in their world gets to a point where you say, you know, like everybody's an executive in their world and in their household and their palace and their business, and you know, everyone's got some kind of a executive position, and in that position, it comes a point where you say, look, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. That's got to be somebody else's problem because I'm worrying about big things. And you know, I just feel with myself, and this is relating to me, that we can feel so katnuni. We can feel so katan that, you know, like everything bothers us. Like, so if you look around and everything's bothering you, like, you know, total loss. Like, why are you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? And why did, you know, what kind of idiot did this? You know, when you start thinking like that, or certainly when you start talking like that, I mean, you know, like, it becomes like, mach sich groß, because you're not so small.
That's the oil of Torah. That can happen in the oil of Torah, you're saying.
Oil of Torah. It's an important oil. And I think that's the most simple, down-to-earth, if you will, shot possible.
That's so is it possible that somebody who's learning Torah, but not Lishma, will appear to be involved in things that are covered, but maybe other things that are maybe not the correct thing, but they have the Lugush of kind of like a spiritual thing, where a Kudush, they can think that they're not coming from...
Yes, yes. And we said the last paragraph in the Haggah, Perek Tezvav, was that learning Shalei Lishma, you're actually increasing the Sitrach, or you're increasing the Klipa. I want to go a little further, because it's getting late on me. We say here, V'lechein adin halacha psuka b'shas, she'talmidei chachomim peturim mimisim. This is not supposed meant to be halacha l'maisa right now. That in the early state of Israel, this means in the time of Ezra. So when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, so he appointed certain Kohanim and Levim to live in Yerushalayim and to do the Avodah of Yerushalayim, Beis Hamikdash. And actually it was the Persian king who said, that no, listen, those guys, they get a 4G, you know, they're off from the clergy, they don't have to pay taxes. Because so he's saying, Nefesh HaChaim is saying that the deep part of that is, and we're talking about somebody who's like completely dedicated in Altair and Lishma. So that's why I'm saying it's hard to bring this halacha lemaisa. But what he's learning here is that a person doesn't have, you know, I don't need that protection. I don't need the things that you are giving me. Is that, you know, I want to be part of society. I'm contributing in a different way. But the needs that you're talking about are not my needs. That's what it was talking about in time of Ezra. You be busy with your Yerushalayim, not with the roads. V'sham Rav Huna bar Rav Chista shada karga arabanan. Rav Huna was a parnes ha'ir. Rav Huna was the gabbai tzedakah, and he was calling the shots in the Jewish ghetto. And Rav Huna said, okay, all the Rabbanim have to start paying tax. You see, you don't need a prime minister for this. he said, all the Rabbanim should start paying karga. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, you could just see this conversation. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said to Rav Huna, avarta ad deraisa ad neviim ad deksuvim. You're violating the whole Tanakh. You're not supposed to change it. So they were having a tax argument, you know, in the area of Rav Huna. And that was the Machlekes. But let's go a little further. Batana Devei Eliyo, Seder Eliyo, Rabba Perek Dalet. Kol Talmud Chacham, She'oisek B'Torah B'chol Yom Tamid. Now, I think, by the way, to be medayik, that doesn't mean Kol Hayom Tamid, that he's learning all day. But he's constant. B'chol yom tamid, every day, doesn't miss a day. Like a korban tamid. You don't bring a korban tamid all day. You bring it every day. Consistently. And he does it bishvil laharbois kvayt shamayim. Underline. He does it for the purpose, lishma. What's his lishma here? The lishma is laharbois kvayt shamayim. That's what he's doing. Now, the minute you know he's into kavod or he's into money or into something like that, then automatically it's not lahar b'skoy shemayim. Not that we should judge, but it's not lahar b'skoy shemayim. I'm doing this totally lahar b'skoy shemayim. So that person, einoy tzarich lecherev lechanis, he doesn't need a sword, he doesn't need a spear, like kol davar she'eloi shomer, he doesn't need any type of bulletproof vests. Ela kodesh baruch hu mishamroi ba'atzmai. Misham, b'perek yud ches, and the Tanit Eliyahu says further, im yesh boi ba'adam derech eretz, u'mikra levad, if a person has derech eretz, doesn't derech eretz probably means here, like business, you're involved in the world, u'mikra levad, and you learn some Torah, you learn some Chumash every day, ma'isr lo'y malach echad l'shamrei, then Hashem gives you a special malach to guard you, a guardian angel. Kara adam Torah neviim suvim moisher leishnei malach malachim. Shenamar ki malachav yitzav alach lishmar. He got two malachim. Avol kara adam Torah neviim uksuvim. V'shana mishna u'medrash halachis v'agodos v'shimeish talmidei chachamim. You gamish bring it halacha lemaisa. Hakadosh baruch hu meshamrei ba'atzmai. Hashem shemracha. And here now he's qualifying this, that to the degree that a person is makabel on himself the oil Torah, kain lefizeha erech yasiru v'yaviru menu tirdos inyan izeh oilam. Exactly to the, it's not an all or nothing deal here, but to the degree that I'm makabel all Torah, I become free. And again, I'm very much pushing the idea that it means spiritually free.
May I ask a question? Aseret Harugei Malchut. It's a very, very problematic sugiya. Malachei Asheret came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Zu Torah v'zeh schara. And he basically said, get off my case. I know what I'm doing. And you have no idea what I'm doing. But this is my decision, and this is the way it's going to be. There's probably no better example of people who devoted their lives to Torah, Lishma, and suffered terrible consequences. So it raises many issues in light of what you're saying. Is it possible that the only pshat is that those who learn Torah Lishma may be exempt or freed from worry and concerns regarding their personal welfare, but they nevertheless bear the weight of the punishment that is due to Klal Yisrael?
I think that's the only way to understand it, and I think it's perfectly consistent with what we're saying, meaning Rabbi Akiva, his Talmidim said, Ad Khan. Even, and he said, my whole life I'm waiting for this. Now, it wasn't that he was some kind of masochist, because he wasn't. He was a person who enjoyed life, Rabbi Akiva. But he wasn't, in my words, mityaches to the pain that he was going through, because he was looking at a much bigger world. He was looking at a much bigger world. He was looking at everything in history from Yosef and his brothers to our times. He was looking at Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And he was looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wanted to do B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha. So nobody can turn around and say, although the Romans tried to say that, look, here's a tzaddik, here's your Talmud Chacham, and we're torturing him. And the smart Jews looked at him and said, you know what? He's smiling. He's smiling because he wasn't mityaches to the pain of it. He wasn't. You look even the other Asar Ragu, the first two Asar Ragu Malchus was Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Yeah, so they were concerned so much. I can't watch the Misa of my Chaver. Kill me. I can't watch the Misa of my Chaver. They were mityaches on a whole different level. They weren't mityaches. Oh my gosh, I'm going to cut my head off now, which any of us would be mityaches to. But they were looking at things from a completely different world. And we don't know, by the way, that tzaddik, like, like it's hard to understand, and we shouldn't be in that situation, Leolino. But we don't understand what kochos we're going to get if we have to be in that situation. By the way, I just want to—we have to stop, but I just want to something I saw. I might have mentioned before. It was something I saw in the Yaivitz and Hilchos Kiddush Hashem, and I think it relates here very importantly. The Yaivitz says, that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. In Hilchos Kiddush Hashem, he writes that if a person is makabel on themselves to be makadosh shem shemayim, even to give up your life, nobody wants to do that. But let's say somebody says to you, worship Avodah Zarah. By the way, it doesn't have to be Avodah Zarah. Like if somebody says to you, accept Christianity, or if somebody says to you, are you Jewish? And you say, no, I'm not Jewish. If somebody takes upon themselves, they want to make a Kiddush Hashem. Says the Yaivitz, and I'm ready to do it. Okay, go ahead, kill me. So, and then they don't kill him. Okay, we're just joking. Or the gun gets jammed, or the Americans come, or something happens. Some story happens, it doesn't get killed. Aness makes a Kiddush, talks about it every year on that date.
Is there a Brussels Vatella?
Right. So the Yaivitz says that the moment one is makabel on themselves in true earnestness, emes, that I'm ready to die al Kiddush Hashem, you will never feel the pain of life again. Now, that's what he says. You're putter from the pain. Yisurin b'deilum imenu. Now, does that mean that the same guy can never get cancer, or he can never have pain, or he can never stub his toe? For sure not. What it does mean is that he just put himself in a whole different world. You're walking this world, you're walking the earth, you're doing everything you got to do, you're making a business, and you have a wife and children, but you're not walking the earth the same way that everybody else is walking the earth, because at that moment of Kabbalah, I have grabbed onto a chain which goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And I'm not living like everybody else is living. It's not a skula. Don't try this at home. It's a metzias of where the person is holding at that particular moment. And I think that's exactly not Rabbi Yitzchak, if you're still there, not what you mentioned so much that okay, you're not going on your steam, you're going on God's steam. No, it's something very deep over here, something different. And that is that I'm no longer mityaches to the world as the world itself. Okay, this guy's killing my lowest roved, he's cutting off my lowest roved, but I have a whole link of chain of links that go all the way up to Shamayim. So say there. And this one's organic, it'll even grow back. Okay.
Did this happen by the Akedah?
This is exactly what happened by the Akedah. In other words, Yitzchak, I don't know about Avraham Avinu, but clearly Yitzchak became otherworldly. He became in a different world completely. And this is mashma from all of the Mefarshim on Chumash, that by the Akedah, once he was able to do that, he was pater from this world in that sense. Maybe that's even why he didn't even see the bad that he should have seen. Okay, I'm going to go.